Inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground.
Good morning, and welcome to the Garden Goddess Show on WDRT Radio, 91.9 FM, Viroqua, Wisconsin. This is Donna Smith, here for the next half hour to talk gardening with you. In today's show, we're going to talk about some seed starting tips from Hannah Pozorski. As I sit here this morning, I'm sipping tea from my new favorite mug. I got a personalized Garden Goddess mug from my family for Christmas. Thanks, Brian, Katie, Michael, Evie, and Matthew. My tea tastes so much better out of my own Garden Goddess mug. Let's jump right into today's show with a couple of questions from the garden cart. If you have a question about something going on in your garden or want some help or advice, you can email me. If you're curious about a garden-related topic that you'd like me to cover in a future show, let me know that too. Send an email with questions or suggestions to gardening@wdrt.org, and I'll respond on a future show. I received two houseplant questions from Carolyn. She sent a few pictures, and the first one is of a rather leggy begonia. Carolyn, your plant is reaching for the light, so I'd suggest turning the plant as often as you can, so it's not reaching over just one side of the pot. Don't prune it back right now, even though it appears leggy. Wait until late winter, early spring to prune it back. Then it won't become too stressed right now when it's not growing too vigorously. If you can give it more light in a different spot in the house or under a grow light, that might help as well. Carolyn's second question is about a hibiscus with droopy leaves. The droopy leaves could be due to stress from over or underwatering. Could also be temperature stress or disease. I'd suggest checking the soil first. Dig down at least halfway down the pot because it's a pretty big pot. Is it wet? Check to make sure the pot is draining properly. Dry soil would mean that the plant is thirsty, but if it's wet, it could be overwatered. Also check that the drainage hole is not blocked. Another thing to check is the temperature in the area where you have the plant. Does it get cold blasts of air from an outside door? That could be affecting it as well. So be sure it's in a place with more even temperature away from a cold or hot source. I'd like to welcome my guest, Hannah Pozorski, today. Hannah was here a few months ago to discuss her fall garden reflections and wrapping up the garden in the fall. Today, she's here to share some tips on winter seed sowing. Welcome back, Hannah.
Thanks, Donna.
Glad to have you here. There are lots of ways to start seeds in the winter time. Do you set up a room to do this, or what methods of seed starting do you like to work with?
Sure. The most cost-effective and space-saving way that I've found to start seeds in the winter is by using a milk jug method.
A milk jug method.
Yep. So that's mostly what I'm going to talk about today. Milk jug winter sowing. It's like the crock pot of seed starting methods. You can set it and mostly forget it. It's very low maintenance, cost-effective, space-saving. You get a head start on the gardening season and you get to scratch that winter itch to get your hands in the soil.
What if you don't have milk jugs?
You ask your good neighbors with kids, ideally, or even your neighborhood recycling center. You could ask daycare centers, any places that kind of might accumulate milk jugs. Okay. Or you could just use things like a rotisserie chicken tub or a 2-liter soda bottle.
I just got a rotisserie chicken the other day.
There you go. Or just, you know, put something out on your neighborhood Facebook group. Hey, everybody, we're going to start some neighborhood seed starting for a community garden. Let's gather our milk jugs up.
Okay.
You could easily just go to the gardening aisle too and pick up some big flat trays that have the clear plastic lids. Or you could use something like party cups with any sort of drainage that you can put them in a big clear tote.
Okay.
You know, something that creates that mini greenhouse effect.
Okay. So, Hannah, can you tell us about the benefits of starting seeds in a milk jug?
Sure. You get cold stratification for your hardy perennials as long as you start them soon enough. You end up with larger and stronger seedlings because they're more acclimated to the outside conditions. There's no hardening off period. Because there's no grow lights to manage and you can use repurposed items, it makes it very cost efficient and it doesn't require any indoor space. You get a head start on the growing season.
So when you're planting these in the milk jugs, they're not staying inside your house. You're putting them outside.
They're going to go right outside, right in the snow, right in the wind, right in the rain.
Oh.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So some of the supplies you're going to need, it's easy. Your milk jugs or 2-liter bottles, your rotisserie chicken tubs, whatever you've got. There's three key elements to keep in mind. You need air circulation from above, drainage holes from below, and some sort of a transparent top to create that greenhouse effect.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I use a 50-50 mix of potting soil to a seed starting mix. It allows for a cozy yet aerated support system to really start developing those seeds. A couple of other things, you might need some sort of a blade or good kitchen shears to chop around the edge of your milk jug or to create the drainage in the bottom.
Okay.
Some duct tape to tape it back together. A grease pen, a label maker, or a Sharpie, something along the line that's going to be a little more UV resistant so you know that these are my fox gloves and these are my forget-me-nots. Otherwise, it's a free-for-all if you lose track of what's what.
Yeah, so you have to label each one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. And then in this last year of milk jug seed starting, I found adding a little layer of vermiculite on the top helped reduce any sort of algae or green sort of growth that can happen. Some of these things are in these milk jugs for 5 or 6 months, depending on when you start,
okay,
compared to the time that you start to split them up and pot them up or put them in your garden.
Okay.
So it's not necessary. I've just found that to be helpful.
Okay. That's a great tip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can really start any type of seed that you'd like in your milk jugs.
So you could do annuals or perennials. Can you do any vegetables?
You can. Yeah. It just depends on what type of seed you have and what time of winter you're going to be planting them. So things like perennials, I usually start in December or January or even in the previous fall. These are things that require a cold stratification, something like nigella, coneflowers, hollyhocks, foxgloves, hyssop, figworts. The list goes on. Anything that's a native perennial in your area is a great contender for your early December, January seed starting.
Okay.
From there, I kind of get into a February seed starting mode, and those are cold hardy annuals. Things like snapdragons, poppies, violas, coreopsis, delphiniums, linaria, those do really well in this like February span of seed starting in your milk jugs. And surprisingly enough, you can even start some vegetables in February, like shallots, onions, and kales all work great in February.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then if you're thinking about just your regular vegetable garden, looking at the back of your seed packet, it might say so many weeks before your last frost date or so many weeks before you would direct sow. For vegetables, you want to follow the timeline if you're going to start them in your milk jug about 3 to 4 weeks before you would otherwise direct sow or otherwise start indoors.
Okay.
There's a plant family that works best for this. Brassicas, beets, radish, spinach, chards, some of those early season things that you kind of can start pretty early, but you can start them 3 to 4 weeks earlier in your milk jug.
Okay. And do you set up any kind of a seed starting chart to keep track of all of this? How do you know when to do all of these things?
Sure. There's definitely a benefit in that. That's not my style. I like to be able to touch and shake my seed packets and look at all the pictures on them. So a calendar doesn't really allow me that same tangible enjoyment that I get out of playing with my seed packets. So this time of year, I'll go through all of my packets and I'll organize them by ones that I have to start 6 to 8 weeks before or 3 to 4 weeks before, and I just organize them with rubber bands and post-it notes. That's my style. There's lots of tips on the internet out there about setting up a whole calendar system.
Okay. So Hannah brought some seed packets. So I'm looking at some of those because I'm not a big seed starter. I have a whole pile of seed packets at home, and I'm like, I think I'm just scared to do something with them. And I don't know when, you know, I never know when to start them, and I don't have a good, really good garden space outside. I've got kind of a native prairie area, and, you know, I'm just working on trying to build up better soil and things like that. So I'd probably go for things like anything that would be more perennial sure. in nature that I could put into my little prairie.
Yep.
So what information am I getting off of the back of the seed packet that's going to be helpful for me if I wanted to start some of my stuff in some milk jugs or yeah. chicken rotisserie yes. containers?
Yeah. Well, I think planting depth is important. Sometimes the seed packets will assume that you're smarter than we actually are. Sometimes we're just starting off gardening and we have no clue. So if the back of the seed packet doesn't tell you how deep to plant something, the general rule of thumb is to not plant any deeper than 3 times the smallest dimension of the seed.
Okay.
Okay. A lot of these plants that we're planting actually benefit from having a light source to help wake them up and start that germination, which is where I find the vermiculate comes in handy, because it covers it and allows things to not move around, but it allows light through. So okay. some of your seeds, you're just going to end up scattering on top of your soil. Sometimes you're going to bury them 1/4 inch, 1/8 inch. Feels like an invisible amount of dirt, but do follow the instructions as far as seed depth or covering or just the need to put it on top of the soil.
Okay. Yeah. This kale that you gave me here, mm-hmm. That says 1/4 inch.
Yep. Yep. So follow that exactly.
In on this one, which was for some poppies, I don't really see a depth on this one.
Yep. And poppies are kind of, it's just like a speck of dust, really. In fact, what's fun about poppies is you can take some sand and your poppy seeds in a bucket together, and then you can just scatter that out in the snow this time of year.
Uh-huh.
And because you can see the sand, but you can't see the seeds, you can see exactly where your seeds are going in the snow.
That's an
idea too. Poppies just like it right on top. They're not picky.
Sure. Yep. Okay. That's good to know.
Yeah. Other types of things you might see on the back of your seed packet is how many weeks before your last frost date, which is something that you need to know specific to your area, whether that's April 21st or March 28th or whatever it may be. You need to know the last frost date specific to your zone so you can decide the timeline of your seed starting.
And can people find that information on a... like an extension website
That's
or
exactly
something like that?
That's exactly what I would suggest. Yeah.
Okay.
Otherwise, just asking your local greenhouses, your local seed suppliers, they're going to know that.
Or if you're a neighbor of Hannah, you just go and ask her.
Hey, what zone are we in? I don't know.
That's good. So we've got our seeds. We've got our packets kind of organized by, you know, this one I'm going to do this week, and this one I can do in another 2 weeks. So that gets us kind of set up for that. I had one other question about the milk jugs themselves.
Yep.
So you're actually cutting like the top half of the milk jug off to be able to just fill it with your soil and your seeds?
Yeah. So my method is starting by jamming some drainage holes in the bottom of it while your milk jug is still really structurally sound.
Uh-huh.
Then I cut three of the 4 sides. The 4th side creates a hinge.
Ah, yeah.
Add about 3 to 4 inches of potting soil. I said a potting soil seed starting mix. Put your seeds in. What's really key with this is making sure your soil is super saturated, more saturated than if you were doing this in a seed tray. You don't want to have to go back and try to water it. This is the watering it is going to get.
Okay.
Mother Nature takes it from this point on. Okay. So super saturated potting soil. You put your seeds on. If you want, put a little vermiculite on top. You're going to put your label on your jug, and then you're going to duct tape it up.
Okay.
Do a handful of these. Yeah. Where I live, it's pretty windy, so it benefits me to put several milk jugs in a crate, and then I set the whole crate outside. Full sun is key, because Otherwise, you're not going to get that warmth. You don't want it near a tree or near a fence line or something where it's going to inhibit moisture getting in. You want the snow, you want the rain, you want the air circulation. So just right out there, full sun. I put them in my garden bed where I'm eventually going to be growing my garden anyways. Then it's not in my paths or in my way. I've done them like in a pop-up greenhouse that I just twine them into like a greenhouse that doesn't have the plastic covering on it. It's just the metal structure. Really, whatever works for you.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you had said that, you know, like you could be doing this now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this particular week that we're recording this show, it's like in the negatives.
Sure.
At, you know, during the day and at night.
Sure.
Is this a good time still, or are we, should we wait a little bit, or do I need to go out and brush off a whole bunch of snow, put the pot, put those milk jugs down, and then pile the snow back around them to insulate them?
Yeah, that last suggestion you had is great. If you just got to get going with this, I understand.
Yeah.
yeah, that suggestion's great. Something to cozy them in. If you want to wait until after our negative 20 wind chills, you know, that's good for everybody. Let's stay inside and eat some soup right now. You can organize your seeds this week. But, you know, it's a great time of year to be thinking about this. We're just on the cusp of Imbolc, which is the halfway point between the winter solstice and the spring equinox. So this is a time that's associated with the lambing season and the coming and preparation of spring. This is a good time to do it. I've started them as early as January with negative 10, negative 15. I haven't had issues. If you just want to give yourself an extra score for success, maybe wait until it's not negative 20 wind chills.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Opposite of that concern is when the days start warming up. How warm is too warm for the milk jugs?
Yeah.
Right? Because you can cook your little seedlings. So typically when it's 65 degrees or warmer, and those days will come, they're in our future.
Yeah. Looking forward to that.
Okay. So open up your milk jugs. Let them breathe. At a certain point, I just cut the tops off entirely until I can get to them and start potting them up, splitting them up, things like that. But yeah, you have to think about both ends of the spectrum that way. How cold is too cold if I'm just first starting this, and how warm is too warm once we've got our seedlings growing?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. And what do you do with all of your leftover seeds? Like, I know, like, you know, there's seed packets come with, some of them come with what seems like a gazillion seeds, and others have many, you know, fewer seeds in them. And, you know, if I'm starting, you know, kale or something, I don't need 25 kale plants. You know, I may just want to get started with a half a dozen kale plants. What are you doing with all of your extra seeds? Do you save them for next year?
Yeah, I save a few. I typically have about a shoebox worth of seed packets in storage, and I don't keep seeds for more than 2 or 3 years. I feel like after that, they kind of lose their germination rate beyond the point that I want to keep tending to them. I think the best thing you can do with your seeds is spread the wealth. Immerse yourself in a gardening community, surround yourself with friends of similar interests, or find programs in your area. It might be at the neighborhood library, it might be a daycare center or a school that's starting a community garden. Put the feelers out there, who needs some seeds? Just bring them to a coffee date. You know, hey, I'm starting some seeds. Do you want to start some seeds too? Let's start some seeds, everybody. So pass them out, share the wealth, save them for a year or two. You know, sometimes we buy some really specialty seeds that we just want in our garden, and that's okay. But just be aware of the fact that they do lose their germination rate after, you know, about 15% every year, they say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you do one of those germination tests ever on yours?
Or? I am not that person.
No. But people can find out on the web how to do that if you want to do, you know, sample your seeds to see if they're any good. I think most of that is putting some on a paper towel, wet that down, throw it in a plastic bag, and then see after a week or so what kind of germination you get from your seed packet. And then you'll know if your seeds are any good or not. So that is one way that you can do that. Hannah also shared with me a great little gift idea she has with her seeds. So I'm going to let her talk about her Valentine seed hearts.
Sure. So this is another great way to use up seeds from last year. Ideally, you're going to use tiny seeds. So what we're doing is making little Valentines that have seeds embedded into the paper. So you're going to gather your seeds. The smaller, the better. A few of my favorites are California poppies, Coreopsis, Linaria, snapdragons, pansies, alyssum, or better yet, even just go pick up a seed mix. Something like a wildflower mix or a fairy meadow mix is really fun for these seed paper Valentines. Other supplies that you'll need are tea towels, paper, a blender of some sort, water, and then like a metal splatter guard from the kitchen, the sort of thing you put over your bacon, you know, to keep the grease from going out.
Yeah.
Okay. And then I'm the sort of person who has dried flower confetti on hand at all times. I don't know why everyone doesn't, but I do. And so that's something I like to add to my paper flower or my flower seed paper, because it just adds like a little extra excitement of what's to come from your paper.
Sure.
Okay. So you fill a blender or a large mixing bowl with water and shred your paper. Be mindful about color theory here. So if you want red or pink paper, that's the color paper you're going to use. If you want a blue or purpley paper as your end result, then use those shades of colors. But don't mix all of your random colors of paper together unless you're going for a weird gray brown.
Okay. Could you use food coloring?
You could. Yeah, absolutely. You could just use basic copy paper and then do a couple dots of any color that you would like that way.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you've got everything shredded up. You're going to put your blender, whatever kind, if it's an immersion blender or a regular blender, in. You make a pulp out of your paper. Okay. At this point, if you're using a blender, you're going to pour it into a giant mixing bowl. Add your seeds. If you have dried flower confetti, add that in. Mix it up well. Then you're going to scoop your strainer or your pot guard into this mixture and boldly flip it down onto the table, onto a tea towel, right? And press it flat with another towel. You're going to let it air dry. It's like a giant tortilla. It's just this big flat thing of paper, and it's got your seeds and your flower bits embedded in it. Once it's dried, you can cut it into your desired shape. You can use a paper punch. You can use your hands. Your kids could cut shapes to cut into it. It doesn't just have to be heart shapes. You could use these as to-from tags or the card themselves. You could just, you know, cut it into a rectangle and fold it in half and write your message on that. You're going to give it. Yeah. So you're going to give it to your friend and they're going to say, what is this? You know, and you just say, you can plant that. You can scurry the snow away and just put it down on the dirt this time of year, or they can save it for a spring day and put it in a pot. Just kind of depends what kind of seeds you put in it. But it's a great way to kind of spread the love, the magic, the hope of spring and what's to come in our Valentine's this season.
Well, and Hannah gave me a beautiful little pink heart that I'm going to remember on Valentine's Day, and I'm going to get this out into my garden at some point in the, over the next week or two, and have some fun when these seeds sprout in my garden.
There
so I'm
go.
Looking forward to that. Our time is coming to a close,
okay.
And we have to wrap this up.
Okay.
I know we could talk for another 20 minutes.
Easily.
Easily. So we'll have Hannah back again to talk about some other fun topic. But I really appreciate you coming in and sharing your thoughts. This milk jug seed starting sounds like a great method. I'm going to get my rotisserie chicken container out of the garage, and I'm going to pull out one of those seed packets I have and get something going. Appreciate your time today.
Thanks, Donna. I can't wait to see what you come up with.
Yeah, I'll let you know as soon as I get that taken care of. So we'll wrap up with Hannah today and move on to our next topic. Thanks so much again, Hannah.
Thanks, Donna. Take care.
You too. The first book found on the bookshelf this month is Saving Seeds, The Gardener's Guide to Growing and Storing Vegetable and Flower Seeds by Mark Rogers. It's a book full of information on how to raise, harvest, and store seeds with detailed information about a wide variety of plants. It also has seed starting tips as well. Another book worth sharing is one for gardening kids. It's called Eddie's Garden and How to Make Things Grow by Sarah Garland. This one shares Eddie's adventures in the garden with his garden friends. It includes all the information needed to actually grow a garden like Eddie's in your outdoor or indoor garden space. We're definitely in the heart of winter right now. In today's Garden Journal, let's take a look at some gardening activities you can do in the coming months. Pruning trees and shrubs. Over the next month or so, you'll want to get out to do some pruning if you haven't already done some. It's much easier to see the form and structure of your plants right now while they are without their leaves. Take advantage of any warmer days that we have. Not too long ago, we hit a couple of days in the 40s and the sun was shining. Those are great days to get out and do some work around the landscape. Start with removing any dead, diseased, or damaged branches from trees and shrubs. Then you can move on to more structural pruning. Another gardening activity that you can be doing right now is to create your seed starting chart. Mark up your calendar or organize your seed packets like Hannah does. Maybe you'll also want to try out the milk jug seed starting method. So gather up your milk jugs and be sure to let me know how that has worked out for you. You may also still be looking at your seed catalogs or seed websites. It's not too late to be getting seeds for your garden and planning out that garden that you're envisioning in your yard for this spring and summer. Well, that's our show for today. I'll leave you with a garden quote from Josephine Noose. Anyone who thinks that gardening begins in the spring and ends in the fall is missing the best part of the whole year, for gardening begins in January with a dream. Thanks so much for joining me today. I also want to thank Hannah again for coming in to talk gardening with me. Please join me again next month for another discussion about gardening and plants. Have a wonderful day. Let's go out and make our world a little more beautiful, one plant at a time.